This is Joe Basso for MusicRadar.com, and I'm speaking with bassist Billy Sheehan. Let me start in with your approach to the bass. Now, you started out as a kid on the guitar, but very soon after, inspired by people like Tim Bogart, you switched over to the bass. What was it about Tim's approach to playing that affected you so much?
Good question. I started on guitar. It was just chordal things. I wasn't actually playing any lines. I learned how to play Substitute by The Who and Well Respected Man by The Kinks and Gloria by, at the time, Shadows of Night. Basically just chordal songs. I didn't play any linear stuff at all when I first started with the guitar. So the reason I point that out is some people get the mistaken impression that I somehow took guitar techniques and put them on bass, when in fact it's actually the opposite has happened. Now that I've learned a lot of stuff on bass, I go back in guitar and try to duplicate it, but I'm not that good I'm not as good with a pick as I am with my fingers. But the thing that really, actually I wanted to be a bass player initially, but it's harder to get a bass, and the guy that lived around the corner from me, Joe Hesse, he was a bass player and was a cool guy and a good friend of mine, still to this day. And I remember he played me the Vanilla Fudge record, and I just went nuts at how amazing. By then I was already a bass player,
okay.
Or had a bass by that time. So I just went nuts on how amazing it was, and how excited I was to hear somebody just do something completely different. Now, when people listen to that record now, you kind of have to remember we were listening to it with 1967 or so ears, so it wasn't a lot of low end, and the sonic qualities of it are much different than what you hear today. But still, when I finally had the good fortune to meet Tim, who's a wonderful guy and a good friend now, he explained to me that it was basically just kind of his psychedelic take on Motown.
Wow.
Which I thought was really interesting, because I'm a big Motown fan also, so I see why I clicked on him.
Now, but also, I understand that Jimi Hendrix was a giant musical influence on you.
Absolutely. The first concert I ever saw, the first rock show I ever saw, was Jimi Hendrix, and he changed everything. I mean, nothing looked the same the next day. We would walk to school looking around, hey, is this the same place we were in yesterday? It was a whole new world. And again, looking at back there from now, it doesn't seem, because we've heard it all and many times over, but boy, we had never heard anything like that ever or seen anyone play like that. And it was Hendrix's approach to the instrument as a free-form, an unconfined, evolutionary, that really inspired me. Sure, his guitar playing I love too, but it was so much of the spirit of what Jimi Hendrix was. I mean, he was just the coolest person that had ever walked, and he still is, and I would assert that anywhere, anytime. And he just attacked that thing with utter reckless abandon and freedom, and I like to think I tried to pick up some of that spirit towards my bass. Not to make the bass into a guitar, but to approach the bass in a free-form way and not necessarily be confined. Of course, bass has its things that you must do. It's got to be in tune. You got to play in time. And you got to know about the bass drum and locking into it. You know, there's duties that you must perform perfectly in order to really get the foundation of the band solidly. But as far as the other small percentage of bass where you really can be free-form on it, Jimmy was a huge influence on me.
Now, when you started to sort of make the leap into, you know, quote-unquote lead bass playing, inspired by people like Tim Bogart and John Entwistle, did you have the feeling that you were on to something different that other people weren't doing?
No, I was isolated in Buffalo, and I had no idea what I was doing was of any worth, any value, or good at all. You know, I was just was, and it was kind of good because I really had nobody there to tell me, oh, that sucks, or hey, that's cool. You know, I mean, people enjoyed it. I say that, and I harp on that a lot, only because a lot of players today start off with all the frosting, never having put the cake there in the first place. And I really work hard to encourage that, because I think that's a big problem with a lot of players today, is they don't really understand fundamentals first.
Now, for many years, you played a Fender Precision bass.
Yeah.
What was it about that particular instrument that you liked so much?
Well, it's the standard. The P bass was the standard bass that everybody had. Tim Bogart had one, but he put a Telecaster neck on it, or so I thought, so I got a Telecaster neck for my bass because I wanted to be like Tim Bogart. And it's a big 1968 baseball bat neck. And I also love Paul Samwell Smith's sound from the Yardbirds with that super deep low-end Gibson EBO pickup. So I bought one of those and put it in the neck position, made a dual output for two amps, you know, and so I modified it. But ultimately, for me, I guess that's where, when you see an artist endorsing a product, that's where it comes in. Because when I saw artists play the P-Bass, and I just thought, well, that's the standard. It's working for them, so it should work for me. You know, if they can do it on that, then that's what I should be shooting for. So I wanted to emulate and imitate my heroes, so I went with the P-Bass.
Now, your first full-time band, Talus, was a power trio, and you sang lead. You shared singing lead in that band. I think a lot of people don't know still what a great singer you are. Does that surprise you?
Oh, that's very kind of you. It does. I don't necessarily consider myself as a singer, but I, you know, when I got in the early versions of Talus, basically, hey, it's a three-part harmony. We need a third part, and you're standing there. There's the mic. Go. You know, we didn't really think it through too much. And eventually, I started singing lead stuff and what have you, and worked on it. And I love to sing. I did a national guitar workshop clinic last summer up in Milford, Connecticut, or Milford something.
Mm-hmm.
Milford. And it was a college town up in the Northeast there. And I did my bass clinic, and we hung out, and it was nice and cool, and I talked all my bass stuff. And then afterwards, we went to a restaurant, and a couple of people showed up, and I said to one of the young ladies, I go, you got a guitar? She goes, yeah, it's in my car. I go, bring it in. That was about 6:30 in the evening. At about 1:30, we ended, and we sang and played all. I had the guitar, and we sang all night long. And it's so much fun, so enjoyable. And I kind of did it in a way. A lot of kids from the clinic were there to say, you see, this is the whole purpose of all that. This is what we're doing it for. And we just had a riot singing everything you could imagine. Beach Boys, Beatles, Grand Funk, Railroad, Crosby, Nash, Three Dog Night, you name it, we had a riot.
Now, you know, you had a really incredible, successful career, but, you know, with the band Talus, it seemed you guys were always on the cusp of breaking big, but you never did.
It was very frustrating. We actually had John Kolodner come to see us play when we opened for Van Halen. And I remember looking over and seeing him standing on the side of the stage, jumping up and down in joy, and saying, and getting to say, this is the best live band in America, blah, blah, blah. We called him a few weeks later. So, well, what do you think? We're not really interested in signing you guys.
Oh, man.
And we showcased for Clive Davis personally. We had Clive and three other guys sitting in a room in New York City in a rehearsal place, and we went down there and played. And they loved it. And they said, you got any other material recorded? So we went back out, we recorded it, sent it down. And they go, well, this is great. We really like it. Now, how's the band live? And this went on back and forth three or four times. You found the singer, this ain't going nowhere. And, of course, it was a very frustrating thing. But, you know, we learned a lot. And I'm really glad for the experience, and we're trying to get together the summer for another Talus show, maybe in Buffalo.
A lot of people, of course, know you from your work in the David Lee Roth band with Steve Vai, of course. Fill me in here. There's a story that you almost joined Van Halen at one point.
Well, I've spoken with Ed and with Dave at various points through the year. They've had come to me. They talked with several bass players. They spoke with Jeff Berlin at one point, and Tim Bogart too, I believe. And I think they were feeling it out because, in my humble opinion, maybe there was some frustration within the band, and they may have thought, mistakenly or otherwise, maybe not mistakenly, that if they changed a member, things would do better. That's complete speculation on my part. I was honored and privileged and thrilled that they would ever even consider me, That was very nice. Van Halen are the greatest. I love that band. I love those guys. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. So, you know, onward and upward. But, yeah, we did speak about it several times. But, you know, as much as it would have been great to get that gig at any time in their history, I got to say, inside, you know, I would have hated to see the band change members, because a band is really never, in my mind as a fan, the band is just never the same. Even if they, you know, they've fire the drummer and get a better drummer, to me, he's not the same guy, you know, so it doesn't, it's a frustrating thing, because I would have, it was my dream gig for my whole life. That's why when Dave finally called me, I just said, yep, you know, it took me less than one second to decide that, you know, because it was close enough to Van Halen that I jumped at it, but It would have been great, but still, I hate to see a band have to change members. I like it when it's the original lineup, and there's of course exceptions to that, but it was a great honor to even to hang with those guys, to tour with them, and to know them at all. I love them dearly.